Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's go to the Team Hochberg phone line and check in with Scott Kleinberg, social media strategist. Good morning, Scott. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Bob. Good morning to you.
Let's talk about this new feature from Twitter, voice tweets.
Yeah.
Is this replacing the Twitter we know?
No. The Twitter that we know is not going away, and that's a real relief, because after a few days of testing this, I am just convinced that Twitter would not be Twitter if there was just voice tweeting. Twitter, you know, really is about brevity and quick updates, and that's why it started with 140 characters. But as time went on, you know, things changed. They had to modify things. Things went to 280 characters. They added threads so you could have 25 tweets of 280 characters each. They're always trying new things.
So how does it work, and why are they doing this? Do we know?
Well, it's in a testing phase right now. I somehow got it on the first day. I'm never that lucky on these tests, Bob. This is really, really good for me. I haven't found anyone that I know with it yet, so I haven't been able to really talk with anyone, you know, one-on-one about it, but Twitter says it's going to get it rolled out to everyone soon. And as far as why, here's what Twitter says. They say sometimes 280 characters aren't enough. Some conversational nuances are lost in translation. They're saying that there's a lot that can be left unsaid or uninterpreted when using text. So their hope is that voice tweeting creates a more human experience for listeners and storytellers alike. So they look at it like journalists sharing breaking news, okay, or a firsthand account from a protest. They're hoping that voice tweeting gives everyone the ability, the chance to share perspectives quickly and easily with your voice rather than just having to type.
I love that they're talking about creating a more human experience, but all of this, not only Twitter, but all the other social media platforms, kind of create something that is not human, takes us further away from the human contact, really, if you think about it.
Oh, that is so true. And, you know, and this really does feel like it's taking us further away, even though they're trying to bring us closer.
I know you've been working on a little pro and con list about this. Lay it on us.
Yeah, sure. So Twitter, first of all, Twitter has some good points. You don't have to type, which is, you know, really, really nice. The flexibility to speak for as long as you need to. You know, Twitter actually breaks up the audio into tweets. So each voice tweet can be 2 minutes and 20 seconds. So if I'm talking and I get to 2 minutes and 21 seconds, it creates a second tweet. And it does it automatically, which is really, really, really beautiful. And then you get the ability to connect with your friends and your audience in a more human way. Now, that part's true. You know, people have said to me when they've used it that they've heard my voice. They've never heard my voice before. I guess they're not listening to us on the radio. So it's kind of, you know, crazy in that way. But then you go to the cons. You still have to type something to go above the voice tweet. What it does is it shows you this thing, and it says voice tweet. It has a picture of your face and a play button. So if you leave that blank, you have no idea what someone's going to say. And they're not just going to keep blindly clicking on these things. You still have to do a tweet. There's also, this is a big con, there's no way to spread to prevent the spread of misinformation. So if you think about how we struggle with that on regular tweets, here, anyone can say anything, and Twitter says now, for now, it's new, but they say for now, it's relying on people to report the bad stuff. Now, you and I mean, you know the problem with that. Even if you do report it, we expect Twitter to take action, and as we've seen, they don't. So that's a real problem. And the other con that I found is it really slows down Twitter. The thing that makes Twitter great, as I was just saying before, is its brevity. And it's useful to be able to scroll and get updates quickly and see what you've missed from the time you log in and the time you log out. And this way, you're really, really stuck hitting that play button every time, so you really don't know. So, yeah, I mean, definitely pros and cons.
So overall, what do you think? Is this going to catch on? Is it going to be a hit?
Well, I think it's a feature worth testing, that's for sure. I don't think it's truly useful unless there's a way that you can transcribe what you're saying. Then I think there's a choice. You can read this tweet or listen to this tweet. Then I can see it being useful. Now, it's still useful now. I mean, you can voice tweet what's, like for you, let's take you for example. You could voice tweet what's coming up on your show. There can be important news stories that can be summarized. I think in the end, it's going to come down to what the audience wants. Historically, Twitter users have been really vocal against huge changes to the platform. They feel a sense of pride and a sense of ownership on the platform. I think they'll be okay with an extra feature added into the mix, but it doesn't mean they're going to use it. And, you know, like with any new toy, you play with it for a while, and then you embrace it, and then you move on to something else. Or, this is key, you use it when it makes sense. And when it comes to making sense, video tweets come to mind. When they came out, I could not wait to film something. I would film anything. I'd make coffee and film it, and I'd talk about it. And then after it faded, I was back to my old ways. I was like, I don't want to do this because I had ways that they were proven ways because I've used it so much before. I think this is going to be the same. I think people are going to try it. They're going to like it, and then we're going to just fade it into the background.
I can't wait for voice tweets from the president. That could be interesting.
Oh, that's a scary thought, Bob.
Chatting with Scott Kleinberg about social media and something new at Facebook. What do we got going here, Scott?
So, yeah, it started with a plan for an election information center modeled after the COVID information center, that little tab at the bottom of your Facebook app. But now Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg says, and he, this is a quote, he says, with so much of our discourse taking place online, I believe platforms like Facebook can play a positive role in this election by helping Americans use their voice where it matters most, by voting. So they are announcing the largest voting information campaign, they say, in American history, and their goal is to help 4 million people register to vote. And this is the first time, it's significant, because this is the first time he's attached a number to the goal.
And how is this going to work?
Well, he's encouraging more voter participation through a new but expanded voting information center. So that was going to start one way, but now it's much bigger. It's going to be added to both Facebook and Instagram over the next few weeks. And they say that they're creating it with authoritative information, including things like how and when to vote, as well as details about voter registration, voting by mail, information about early voting. And this is all by state. So whenever you log in by your profile, it tells you where you are and what you need to know. They'll also include posts from state election officials and verified local election authorities. They want to make sure that people know that what they are reading is actually true and not coming from some unverified source. They're making it a very big point to say verified local information authorities, and they're going to show it at the top of the Facebook news feed and on Instagram to make sure everyone gets a chance to see it. This is very different than what you see on these normal information centers, which requires you to hit that tab at the bottom. This is going to appear at the top. You'll have the tab as well, but this appears right at the top.
And they're also doing something for people who don't need that, right?
Yeah, and this is a little bit weird to me. Zuckerberg says, for those of you who have already made up your minds and just want the election to be over, we hear you. So we're introducing the ability to turn off seeing political ads. So you'll be able to go, and it's still weird to me, Bob, you'll be able to go in your settings on Facebook and Instagram or flag an ad that you see, and then instead of having the option to, let's say, report the ad for something being wrong with it, although you can still do that, you'll have the option to say, I don't want to see any ads going forward, or you can just turn them off completely in your settings. And, you know, while that may be a good thing to get rid of the noise that's out there, you know, turning off an entire category of ads is a really new thing for them. So it's interesting for sure.
Yeah, it may be popular. And if you do that, so all ads from any party, you wouldn't see anything?
That's what they're saying. They're saying anything that falls under the political ads category. And the one thing about Facebook is when you set up an ad, the first thing you have to click is the category that it belongs in. And they are very, very different when it comes to political ads because you have to go through a whole rigorous campaign to figure out that you're who you say you are and you're giving the information. So it's not like anybody can just post an ad. But yes, you're right. In this case, any political ad from that category will be turned off.
Scott Kleinberg, and he's our social media man. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, as always, Scott.
Thank you, Bob. Anytime.